Welcome to the Dr. Janine Show. I'm Dr. Janine Bowring, naturopathic doctor, and today I'm talking about irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, digestion problems. I'll talk about some of the most common causes, the symptoms associated with IBS, and of course, my natural tips. I want you to stay tuned right until the end of the show. I've got a lot of great information for you today, and of course, my tips will be coming up towards the end of today's show. If you're new to my channel, welcome in. I hope that you'll subscribe and click that bell to turn on your notifications. If you do have questions and comments throughout the show, please drop them in the comment section below, and I appreciate all the love, so thank you for the thumbs up for today's video. So what is IBS, so irritable bowel syndrome? Well, this is a functional gastrointestinal disorder, and it affects approximately 11% of the global population. So what does functional mean? Well, it means that it's not caused by structural abnormalities such as ulcers and tumors. There's other reasons for developing the IBS, and it's much more common in women compared to men, and usually in the younger age group, so it's more likely to occur under the age of 45. IBS used to be very much dismissed by conventional doctors as a psychosomatic disorder. So you went in, you had some digestive complaints, maybe the symptoms, which I'll talk about, the frequent bowel movements, maybe slow bowel movements. You go into your doctor and the doctor says, oh, it's all in your head. And I think, unfortunately, this still does happen today, but now IBS is more and more recognized as a real condition. Now, doctors diagnose IBS when there is a recurring abdominal pain for at least 3 days out of the month, and this is occurring in a three-month period. Now, the diagnosis usually goes hand in hand with an improvement when you do have a bowel movement, and the onset can be associated with a change in the frequency of the stools and or the consistency of the bowel movements. Now, when we talk about the causes of IBS, it's usually disclosed as no known cause. However, there are certain theories and hypotheses which include infections in the GI tract. So this could be parasites, which I talk a lot about in terms of parasite cleansing and doing detoxification for parasites and cleaning up that healthy microbiome. So stay tuned for some tips on this. As well as another cause for IBS may potentially be psychological stress. We know, and I've seen in my patients over the years, that most times anybody who has chronic gut and IBS like symptoms, usually there is a not so great relationship with stress. We all have stress, but I always say it's all about how you react and how you handle your stress and what you do to deal with your stress so that it's not affecting you physically. And that's a big psychological component as it's related to IBS as well. And abnormalities in gut motility. So how quickly or how slowly things are moving through the gut can be a factor as well. We also know that the gut-brain axis, so that connection between what's going on in our brain chemistry as well as our gut microbiome chemistry, definitely is related and can be one of those causes of IBS. Environmental mismatches. So this is something that you probably haven't yet heard. So whether it's your EMF exposure, if you don't know what EMFs are, please check out my YouTube videos all about EMFs and how you can lower your risk and exposure to these different types of radiation in your environment, as well as blue light toxicity, also a factor. All of the artificial light that we have in our eyes and on our skin definitely can cause that environmental mismatch, which is linked to gut problems as well. And of course, being ungrounded. So in most of my videos, I talk about getting grounded. I'll share some of those tips in today's video as well. And dietary causes. So certainly eating a more inflammatory diet can be a cause for IBS. If you're not eating a lot of live, natural, raw foods that are grown in your local environment, these can be factors as well. Now I'll share some of the most common signs and symptoms of IBS. So certainly abdominal pain, there could be a lot of excessive gas and bloating and that distended abdomen. Altered bowel habits is very common. So some people will experience constipation, so slower bowel movements. Other people can have very frequent bowel movements and diarrhea and loose stools. And this can oscillate back and forth. So a couple days days you're constipated, then a couple of days of diarrhea. There could be mucus in the stools as well, which is often a sign of inflammation. If you feel fatigued and just a lack of overall energy, this can be related to that poor digestion, and anxiety and nervousness. So this can be related to, again, what's going on in your inability to deal with the stresses in your lives. This can affect your sleep as well with chronic IBS. If you're just tuning in, I'm Dr. Janine. It's great to have you here. Today I'm talking about irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, digestion problems, some of the causes, the symptoms, which I just shared, and I will soon get into the tips and what you can do about this. Of course, naturally, we're streaming live on YouTube and on Facebook today. It's great to have you here. So the different types of IBS. So we have IBS-D, which is one-third of people who have IBS have the diarrhea type. So IBS-D for diarrhea, and it's one of the most prominent types of IBS. We also have IBS-C, which stands for constipation. And again, one-third of IBS sufferers will be in this category. Now we also have IBS-M and IBS-A. So M means mixed, so usually there's alternating between constipation and loose stools, or IBS-A, which is the alternating. So mixed or alternating, very similar. We also have IBS-U, and this is where people don't fit into any of the above categories, and they are classified as unsubtyped IBS or IBS-U. So let's talk about some of the foods to avoid for IBS. And this, I have a sort of a general list, and then I have some, you know, potentially controversial information about the FODMAP diets, which I'm getting to in just a second. So across the board, I would say for most people who do suffer with inflammatory bowel disorders and IBS, to eliminate or severely decrease your consumption of inflammatory fats. So these are the PUFAs. If you've seen me talk about the PUFAs before, we're talking refined oils. Usually it's the vegetable oils, the corn oil, the canola oil, my least favorite. These can be very inflammatory for the entire body, but also for your cell membranes and for your gut. So you want to limit your exposure, if not, completely get rid of these inflammatory fats, the PUFAs, from your diet, as well as grains. So especially grains, and if you're in that inflamed state, gluten, we know other grains such as barley, rye, oats that contain gluten can be compromising, especially if you've got the leaky gut syndrome happening, which in my opinion, most people with IBS are going to have some form of leaky gut and those tight junctions opening up in the gut, that this will be a factor as well. We know that processed foods and foods that contain a lot of chemical ingredients should also be avoided if you do have IBS, and grain-fed meats, dairy products, eggs should also be avoided. Why is that? Well, it always has to do with the health of the animal that you're ingesting, or their byproducts like eggs or the milk or the dairy. And if that animal isn't grass-fed, then we know that those, foods that you're eating from that animal will not be that healthy. And it could be potentially very inflammatory and not giving you those essential nutrients that you need to break down that food to begin with. Now, here's the controversial one, the low FODMAP diet. I get a lot of questions about this. It doesn't necessarily work for everyone, but a lot of people do find a lot of great results if they have inflammation in the gut and IBS with the low FODMAP diet. Okay, so what is FODMAP? So FODMAP stands for fermentable oligo, di and monosaccharides and polyols. So fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. So what are these? So fermentable, meaning that they will ferment. Oligosaccharides, so these are usually the fructans, and galacto-oligosaccharides, the GOSs. These are commonly found in products like wheat, rye, onions. Certain fruits and vegetables will have these oligosaccharides, and they can cause a lot of gas and bloating for people that are sensitive to them. Disaccharides, usually lactose, is the most commonly found disaccharide, usually in dairy products, in milk, yogurt, and cheeses, can be problematic for people with IBS. Monosaccharides, so this means too much fructose. So this is in fruits, especially higher in the high glycemic index fruits, so the tropical ones, things like mangoes. But some sweeteners will also be very high in fructose, like agave and honey. And that's why some people will not do well with honey, agave, and the monosaccharides with IBS. also the sugar alcohols, the polyols. So we know that sorbitol, mannitol, xylitol, isomalt, and a lot of the processed sweeteners will have these polyols. And if you've ever experienced this, maybe you've gone keto, you've gone low carb, and you're starting to use some of these alternate polyols, and you get very gassy, that could be because they are high in the FODMAPs, and your gut bacteria simply is not happy with all of that extra sugar alcohol. Other FODMAP and high FODMAP foods include most legumes, so chickpeas, lentils, kidney beans can be high in the FODMAPs. Meats that can be now marinated in some of these high FODMAP foods, as well as processed meats, often will have a lot of the FODMAPs, as well as garlic, onions, cauliflower, broccoli, beets, almonds, cashews, and coconuts can also be compromising and very high in FODMAPs. Now, not everybody is sensitive to FODMAPs, so I don't want to scare you off, because we hear, you know, and I'm going to continue the list, a lot of healthy foods are in this group, but if you're super sensitive and your gut microbiome is not optimized, this is why you could be reacting to these high FODMAP foods. Continuing with hazelnuts, pistachios, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, chocolate. So this, you know, the high FODMAP diet and avoiding these for me would be just like terrible, be like really bad, because all of my favorite foods seem to be on the high FODMAP list. Apples, blackberries, cherries, my favorite fruit, also high in FODMAPs, as well as watermelon, plums, nectarines, and peaches. So those are all the high FODMAP foods. Again, some people do really well on a low FODMAP diet, so avoiding, you know, a lot of those foods that I just discussed. Other people are on the opposite end of the spectrum, and they actually do much better if they're having more of these types of fermentable ingredients in their diet. So really, one of the only ways to know is if you actually try it out and do an elimination diet, tries going low FODMAP, and if it's helping you, then for sure it may be a good idea. But do you have to stay on this? And this is the next question I know a lot of people are thinking, do I need to stay on this forever, the low FODMAP diet? Not necessarily. That's the good news about healing the leaky gut. So if you've missed my videos on leaky gut syndrome, please do check them out. Healing those tight junctions in the gut, which can happen in as little as 5 days, is a great step towards, you know, being able to tolerate more foods in your diet. So if you're just tuning in today, I'm Dr. Janine. I'm talking about IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and digestion problems, some of the most common causes, symptoms, and of course, I'm getting to my tips. What can we do about this naturally? We're streaming live on YouTube and Facebook today, so it's great to have you here. So let's talk a little bit about vitamin D and IBS. So we know that the vitamin D receptor is expressed in the gut and our gut cells, of course, in our nervous system as well. And it is thought to now regulate that gut barrier function. So this could be one of those things really important for healing that leaky gut. It also helps to regulate our neurotransmitter levels and our serotonin synthesis. So remember that connection between the gut and the brain, called the gut-brain axis, really, really important. Vitamin D and vitamin D deficiency, perhaps with the potential to developing or having, you know, an exacerbation of your IBS symptoms when you are vitamin D deficient. Now, in some of the research is shown, and in one study they showed 90 male and female participants between the ages of 18 and 73 were sought to determine the effects of 50,000 international units. So that's a whopping dose of vitamin D3, and this was taken once every 2 weeks, and then they measured the IBS severity of the symptoms and the perceived quality of life. Now, we know that the study did show us that the vitamin D supplementation at those 50,000 IUs appeared to be effective at mitigating the symptoms and severity of IBS. So that's huge, by approximately 15% above placebo. So people were feeling much better with the big dose of the vitamin D. And the greatest symptom improvements were regarding to abdominal pain. So that's very, very important look at vitamin D supplementation. So I would take that a step further, and I would want to know, okay, that's supplementing with vitamin D, what what about natural sunlight exposure, maximizing your sunlight exposure? What would that do with IBS symptoms? And I'm not sure if that study's been done yet. And in another study, approximately 70% of the people taking a high dose supplementation of their vitamin D actually improved their IBS symptoms. So that was, you know, there's some good data there to show that potentially, yes, vitamin D deficiency and IBS are correlated. Let's talk a little bit about stress and IBS. So we know that psychological stress is a huge factor with IBS. And this is something that I've, you know, seen over the years with my own patients, that usually when there is a chronic digestive issue, there was always a difficulty for my patients that were going through IBS to process their stress. So we all have stress, but how well do we actually process it makes the difference. And I found that a lot of my IBS sufferers, my Crohn's patients, my colitis patients, they often stuffed their stresses down. So, you know, what they couldn't voice, what they couldn't process in terms of their stresses in their life, they often stuffed it down. And that is, you know, something that definitely with that mind-body connection with our illnesses, we've got to have ways to process our stress. That's one of the reasons I love exercise movement, to be able to get that stress out of our body. We also know that vitamin D is interesting here, because we know because of those vitamin D receptors in the brain, in the gut, and the links to our serotonin levels, that this is important, our vitamin D status, with helping our mood, depression, and again, dealing with stress as well. So one of my great tips here would be not only exercise and movement, but also meditation. So whatever you can do to calm the nervous system down, to be more in the parasympathetic, in the more relaxed state of the autonomic nervous system, is always going to help you with your IBS. Okay, let's talk a little bit about EMF. So leaky gut syndrome, as it's related to our electromagnetic field and radiation exposure in our environment, can be very detrimental. What it does is it weakens those tight junctions in the gut, and this can then cause a lot of chronic inflammation. And we know with IBS, there's a chronic inflammatory response happening here. Even autoimmune diseases have been linked to our EMF exposure, so that's really important. Now, one study actually found that EMFs in the environment actually altered the bacteria and made bacteria more resistant to antibiotics. So one study looking at the organisms Listeria and E. coli and their exposure with RF EMFs, either generated by a GSM 900 megahertz mobile phone simulator and a common 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi router. So we know that now we have 5G. This was just 2.4G. And what they did find was that exposure to the RF EMFs within a narrow level of irradiation, so a small exposure window, makes microorganisms resistant to antibiotics. So it actually changed those microorganisms and made them more resistant. So the question, the bigger question for me is, and I'm sure you may be thinking this as well, what about all of that exposure that we have to EMFs on a daily basis? What's that doing to our microflora? What's that doing to our microbiome? What's that doing to, you know, this supposed natural balance of all of our microbiomes, whether it's on our skin, in our gut, in our brains even? What's happening here? Is the balance tipping in a less favorable direction? Now, compounding on top of that, the stress, maybe not eating the right foods, and, you know, having some of the lack of some of the things that we need in terms of our probiotics and digestive enzymes and things in our guts. Are we setting ourselves up for chronic issues and inflammation and IBS? So we have to ask ourselves these questions. But that's why I'm here. That's why I'm putting it out on the table for you. And I hope that you're learning something today. I appreciate all the thumbs up. Thank you for everybody who's tuning in today. Hit that subscribe button so that you are always on top of my latest downloads and all of my great information that I share here on YouTube. Okay, let's talk now about the 9 tips that I have, of course, naturally for IBS. So tip number one is to follow Mother Nature's prescription. What does this mean? This means getting outside, getting out into nature, getting grounded. So doing your grounding, looking at that early morning sunlight. You hear me talk about this in most of my most recent videos. Really, really important to follow this and to start your days off in the right way to decrease that overall inflammation in your body. Tip number two is to use a castor oil pack. Castor oil packs, I have another video exactly how to do it, how long to do it for, so please check it out, the entire protocol. But it's very good for chronic inflammation, and especially we have a specific immune function in our gut. It's called the GALT system, and this is something that we can activate with the castor oil pack, so really important to decrease that overall inflammation. Tip number three is to do the ileocecal valve massage. So we have a valve that connects both our small and large intestine. It's on our right hand side. You can actually release that valve and allow for better movement and motility in the intestine. So please check out my video on the ileocecal valve massage and do that regularly. Really, really important to get things moving. Tip number four is to limit your EMF exposure. So again, our cell phones, our Wi-Fi routers definitely has a negative impact on our microbiomes, and limiting our exposure is very important for our overall health and, of course, for IBS as well. Tip number five is to make the dietary changes as necessary for your own body. So for some people, the low FODMAP diet is going to definitely help them. Other people, maybe not so much. You've got to maybe experiment a little bit here and find what works best for you. Tip number six is to fix your leaky gut. So fixing those tight junctions in the gut is really important. I have other videos about this. Some specific, so a whole food zinc formulation, as well as a whole food vitamin C, very, very helpful here. Glutamine is an amino acid and a functional protein powder, really reparative for those tight junctions in the gut. Selenium is another important mineral that will help to do this. Tip number seven is to use digestive enzymes. So I really like plant-based digestive enzymes that are full spectrum, helping to break down all of our nutrients, so our macronutrients, so our carbs, our fats, and our proteins, and specifically working on some of the grains, so things like gluten and, you know, those other more difficult to digest FODMAP. So this is something that you can sometimes, you know, not have to alter the diet too much if you're getting good digestive enzymes to actually break down your food. So I promise we'll share some links in the description below so you can get more information about this. Tip number eight is to kill off those bad organisms. So you definitely want to do your best to do some kind of parasite cleansing protocol. I've got other videos on this. I share this a lot and this information in my live videos. So make sure that you tune in when you can as I go through protocols. And this, of course, will involve a kill phase. So using very specific herbal medicines to kill off those less favorable organisms. And then the re-inoculation phase with good quality probiotics. So that is part of my entire parasite cleansing protocol. And yeah, check out my information on other platforms. You will definitely learn more about that. And tip number nine, that mind-body connection for IBS. So doing some form of stress relaxation, meditation is fantastic. I have specific audio files here on YouTube. Please take advantage and listen to those. Put on your headphones, a wired headphone to limit your EMFs, but put on your headphones and listen and just relax to the specific frequencies of music to help to relax your nervous system. And of course, helping to decrease that overall inflammation in the body, decreasing your stress, helping you to process emotions that may be stuck down, things that you've been swallowing and sort of stuffing down as it's related to that mind-body connection with IBS. Really important that you process all of those emotions. Another great tip is to journal. So to write out, you know, what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Even if it happened 10, 15 years ago, this will really help you with your IBS to process all of that, get it out of your system. You don't need it. It can be gone. So thank you so much for joining me today. I talked all about IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, digestion problems. I talked about the most common causes, the symptoms, and of course, my natural tips. I hope these tips help you. Please share this with someone that you know who will value this information. I appreciate all of your love and a thumbs up. If you do have further questions and comments, please drop them in the comment section below. And if you're new to my channel, welcome in. I hope that you'll subscribe and click that bell. Everyone has a calling in life, and one of mine is to educate you how to live your life in tune and in line with nature. Thanks for watching.